Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play, tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and bella.
Happy St. Valentine's Day. It's February 14th. St. Valentine's Day, Italian style. We'll have a special edition of Tea's 2 Cents coming up at 8:14, talking about the most romantic spots in Italia. I picked a few for you, and we're closing with a dedication to Saint Valentine, because the place of his burial in the beautiful region of Umbria is a very special place for Italian couples, and I will explain coming up at 8:15. Good to be with you on a Monday. Very cold out there, by the way. It's only about 6 degrees right now in southeastern Michigan. It doesn't feel too bad because of the sun. It always makes a difference, I think, when the sun is out there. And we are going to have some wacky weather this week in terms of the temperatures. We're 6 right now, right? And then we're going all the way up in Michigan, southeastern Michigan, more specifically, to, I'm not kidding you, 50 degrees later this week. Yeah, so again, as I always say, if you don't like the weather in Michigan, hang around 5 minutes. We'll give you the complete forecast in just a sec. I do want to give you the rundown first, and I give you a little bit of a news flash concerning something I'm offering now on my website. Very excited about it. We mentioned that at 8:15 we will be talking about the wonderful places in Italy that just speak romance. Of course, the whole country does, but in particular, a few places that are actually marked for couples and really photo opportunities and just very, very special locations up and down and all around the boot. At 8:35, my dear little sis, Vanessa Denargarmo, and I are going to be talking about, in the news, a few stories, something that Jen Circleback Psaki, the White House press secretary, oh, she's at it again, lying through her teeth. We'll let Vanessa explain. We're also going to be taking a look at how the media are suddenly all singing a very different tune when it comes to mask mandates. Why? Because apparently they've received more marching orders from the left saying, okay, we got to cool it. It's an election year, and we're not doing so well in the polls, so it looks like people have had it. Basta with the masks and basta with the mandates. So now many of these governors are singing a very different tune, and even Fauci is saying, oh, hey, guess what? Looks like the pandemic's over. Because we say so. Nothing to do with science, but because they say so. We will discuss in the news, and also paying tribute to a mutual friend of ours, someone Vanessa and I have both known for a really long time, and Vanessa worked especially closely with him at WJR Radio, passed away over the weekend. Such sad news. Frank Beckman, a wonderful radio host, a newsman, a sportscaster, and someone who really goes down in history in Detroit as one of the most popular and well-known broadcasters, and we'll speak with him. I first met him years ago, decades ago, when I was an intern at the Voice of the Great Lakes, and that would be WJR News Talk 760. I was an intern there, and Frank had just started in the early 70s, and I interned, I think, there in the summer of 79, if my memory serves me correctly, but he was always very nice to me, had me on a show a few times, and was very supportive of the work that I was doing in Catholic media, and I know that he supported Vanessa Denha as well. It was a sudden thing. He just retired last year, and then just over the last couple of months, he had some issues, and apparently his death was the result of complications from something called vascular dementia. Very, very sad, and he will be greatly missed. And then it is a Valentine's Day today, St. Valentine's Day more specifically. Greg and Julie Alexander will be joining us with our monthly marriage segment, Mornings on Marriage with Greg and Julie. There's a new online program that's available. They want to talk all about it. Maybe they'll have some fun ideas on how you can make this St. Valentine's Day very, very special for your spouse and for each other. Be catching up with them. They are so busy. Thanks be to God. They are doing such good in the marriage world in terms of helping struggling marriages and speaking, and we'll talk to them all about that as well. So that's coming up at 9:15. And then moving right along, speaking of the love of God, our friend, mutual friend Curtis Martin will be joining us. Of course, we've all spoken together, Curtis and Deacon Dom and I and Julie and Greg, and I just am really a huge fan of everything Curtis Martin does, especially the great work that he's done with FOCUS, the wonderful Fellowship of Catholic University Students. There were some exciting things from SEEK 22, the youth conference they have each January. He'll join us with all that good news on a Monday morning. And then more good news from Gail Buckley with our Bible verse of the week. And by the way, a little bit of background about St. Valentine as we mark St. Valentine's Day. St. Valentine of Rome was a priest, and this is according to Catholic tradition, but they did find some remains in this town that we're going to be talking about in two cents called Terni, which is in Umbria, which is a region where Assisi is also located. Saint Valentine of Rome, and thanks to one of our listeners, Ed, who sent me this, I've got several summaries just trying to compare, and this one and the other ones that I've looked at from a Catholic perspective are all similar, so I'm going to share this news with you. He was a priest who lived in Rome during the reign of Emperor Claudius II. Little is known of his life with certainty except that he ministered to Christians who were persecuted and imprisoned for their faith, and he died a martyr, and he died on the 14th, which is why the feast is noted as February 14th, obviously, because he died on February 14th. And this is why we celebrate St. Valentine's Day on this particular day. And yesterday, by the way, was World Marriage Day, which is always a Sunday before Valentine's Day. And we were supposed to have, of course, the World Marriage Day dinner, but that's been postponed because of COVID. And my dear friends Carol and Bill Brewis are the keynote speakers, and they will be speaking, my understanding is, next year. So we'll keep you posted on those developments. Just a little side note there. But St. Valentine actually ministered to Christians who were persecuted and imprisoned for their faith. Again, he died a martyr. And one account, according to Catholic tradition, has it that the emperor banned all marriages and engagements in Rome, believing this was the reason Roman men were unwilling to serve in the army. Valentine defied this unjust decree and continued to perform marriages for lovers in secret. So, a little bit about St. Valentine. More coming up on Two Cents. Best areas of Italy, the motherland, as I call it, to not only celebrate St. Valentine's Day, but to mark a special time, take a special photo with your spouse and your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You know, if you're going over there, maybe you're engaged, your couple's going over there engaged, and they want to take a cool photo, I will share those spots with you and a little history as well. All right, let's take a look at the forecast before we get into the news, and there's a lot of it regarding the situation with Ukraine and Russia. As I mentioned, sunny and cold right now, 6 degrees. We're going up to a high of 22 for Valentine's. Tomorrow, 26 and sunny, and all the way up to 50 on Wednesday, cloudy skies, and then some light snow on Thursday, very comfortable temps, so 40 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. Friday, back down to normal temps for middle of February, 23 and sunny. Not too bad over the weekend, partly sunny and 31. And then sunshine, full sunshine on Sunday, 41 degrees. And again, temperatures go back up and looks like they stay there at least for a little while toward the end of the week and the beginning of next week. Sunday, 41. Monday, 46 for February 21st. And then Tuesday, 37 degrees, and not too bad on next Wednesday either, a high of 30. So we are getting through the winter, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's see the national weather and how that looks. I haven't heard of anything, but I know there are some areas. I was listening to the Sunrise Morning Show this morning that there is a probable storm moving in. An aggressive storm system digging into the south and east across the western U.S. to produce heavy mountain snow and cooler temperatures. Now, the system, they're saying, will involve mid to late week in a large-scale multi-hazard storm with heavy snow, wintry mix, heavy rain, possible flooding, and severe thunderstorms across the central, southern, and eastern portion of the country. But that doesn't start until later in the week, and we will keep you posted. Already 8:09, it is a Monday. We recognize St. Valentine today. Let's take a look and see what's happening in and around the world with the news. Let's get started. Pope Francis speaking on the paradox of the Beatitudes in his Sunday Angelus address yesterday, saying that the defining characteristic of a disciple of Jesus is joy. Indeed, the Beatitudes define the identity of the disciple of Jesus, Pope Francis said, gathered when the crowds were gathered in St. Peter's Square. He said, it might sound strange, almost incomprehensible to those who are not disciples, but if we ask ourselves what the disciple of Jesus is like, the answer is precisely in the Beatitudes. Pope Francis, noting Jesus told his people they are blessed and they are poor indeed, that they are blessed because they are poor. The Pope also urging world leaders to seek a peaceful solution to the situation in and around Ukraine as Western nations warn Russia could invade its neighbor any time. Again, speaking at the Angelus, he asked pilgrims to pray in silence for peace, adding the news coming out of Ukraine is very worrying. He entrusted the situation to the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, appealing to political leaders to spare no effort to seek out peace. And new developments indeed overnight in that Ukrainian situation, the country now demanding an urgent meeting with Russia over the buildup of troops on its borders. An official says Russia ignored a formal request to explain why it increased the number to 130,000 soldiers. The Biden administration getting ready to pull all government personnel from the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv within the next 2 days. This is according to a CBS News report Sunday night.
A new week, another stark warning. U.S. officials say there's a distinct possibility the more than 100,000 Russian troops stationed near Ukraine could invade.
That's Bree Jackson, who says early Saturday the State Department issuing a travel advisory announcing that most U.S. direct hire employees are being evacuated from the embassy. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan saying on CNN's State of the Union that Russian troop movement in recent days has forces in a position where they could launch a military action very, very quickly. Senator Lindsey Graham says politicians on Capitol Hill are talking way too much amid the Ukraine-Russia crisis.
We've been working in a bipartisan fashion for about 3 weeks now to come up with pre-invasion, post-invasion sanctions, and the White House keeps pushing back.
Appearing on ABC's This Week, the South Carolina Republican explaining the combination of pushback from the White House and doing too little in terms of sanctions is not letting Russian President Putin see what is actually at stake. Graham adding it's important for Putin to know that an invasion of Ukraine will damage U.S.-Russia relationships for years to come. In other news this morning, Trey Thomas tells us the busiest U.S.-Canada border crossing is open again for the first time in almost a week.
The Ambassador Bridge linking Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, reopened late Sunday night after Windsor police quietly arrested about two dozen truckers protesting vaccine requirements. The blockade on the Canada side had disrupted business in both countries, including auto assembly plants. The Ambassador Bridge normally carries around 25% of all trade between the U.S. and Canada.
The Federal Reserve is widely expected to raise those interest rates next month.
March is an appropriate time to raise the interest rate, mm-hmm. and then we have to take in all of the information and make the right decision at the right time for the economy.
Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation, that San Francisco Fed Chief Mary Daly adding she's not in favor of increasing it by as much as 0.5%. She also said the central bank should be measured in its path despite speculation from some analysts of up to 7 rate hikes in 2022. She added that increasing the interest rate would help ease record inflation, but called it only one piece in the puzzle, saying it will also be necessary to fix the supply chain and invest in more services over goods as consumers re-enter the public following the Omicron surge. The Better Business Bureau is warning folks in the market for a used car to not buy anything without getting at least a third-party inspection. Troy Baker of the Better Business Bureau of Western Michigan urging folks to take an extra day or two as car buyers, he says, currently are running into some real problems with used vehicles.
And that means not just jumping into the prettiest car that you see on the lot, the first thing that you drive, take your time and do your research. It will protect you.
He adds buyers need to get everything in writing when buying a used car, saying people need to understand what is covered if there is a warranty and what people need to do if they have an issue. And on this same Valentine's Day, some warning about not-so-loving folks looking to take advantage of others on dating apps.
They usually ask you for money. Usually it's something like, my child is sick and I need money. It's some kind of story to tag at your heartstrings, and it's always very important, very urgent, and they always need a large amount.
Sonia Selmayer of the Iowa Insurance Division saying scammers are setting up fake profiles, and eventually when they do get a profile up there, they're asking for a lot of money, and they also say they will never meet you in person. So some signs there to be a little bit weary of. Americans are expected, meanwhile, to, as Dina Kodiak explained, spend nearly $24 billion on this St. Valentine's Day.
This would mark the second highest year of Valentine's Day spending, following just behind the $27.4 billion spent in 2020. An annual report by the National Retail Federation estimates that shoppers will spend an average of just over $175 per person on gifts.
And just giving my apologies again to my friends in Cincinnati and especially on Sacred Heart Radio, Annie Mitchell and Matt Swaim, and of course my bestie Lynn Bernard and her husband Don, who are down in beautiful Springboro, Ohio, which is right outside of Dayton, so they're huge Bengals fans. We were texting each other last night. She was sending me all these cute pictures of her dressed up in her Bengals gear. She looked totally adorbs, totes adorbs. And we were so excited because it looked like they were doing well. I mean, I really didn't have any big, you know, dog in this fight. I was just supporting the Cincinnati Bengals because Cincinnati is a wonderful Catholic town, and I have really good friends down there. It was a good game, but at the end of the day, the L.A. Rams won. So here's the deal. MVP of the Super Bowl is, and this is good news, so I'm glad to see that, as we discussed on the Sunrise Morning Show, that these football players recognize that their talents are a gift from God. Los Angeles Rams receiver Cooper Kupp catching two touchdowns, including the game winner, as the Rams beating the Bengals 23-20 to win Super Bowl 54. After the game, he said he didn't feel deserving in the honor, adding, God is good. Amen to that all the time, and all the time God is good. Earlier in the season, he told Sports Spectrum he is the most fulfilled and he has found the most joy when he is rooted in his purpose and specifically rooted in God's purpose for him. Good for him. He said his motivation coming in every single day is to run the race in such a way as to honor the Lord. Very well said. And wrapping up, a memorial service to honor the life of NFL legend John Madden is set for today at 5:30 local time in the Bay Area of San Francisco. Here is reporter John Brenise.
They're calling it one more Monday night in Oakland, a celebration of John Madden. Former players, coaches, and broadcasters will be among those honoring the Hall of Fame coach and Emmy-winning TV announcer, from former Oakland Raiders player and coach Art Schell to current Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid. Speakers will make their tribute starting at 5:30 p.m. Monday at Ring Central Coliseum. John's son Mike Madden will also make comments. Madden died suddenly last month at the age of 85.
It is 8:16 on St. Valentine's Day, Monday, February 14th. Great to be with you. Weather-wise, very cold in southeastern Michigan, 6 degrees, only a high in the upper teens, low 20s. It's going to warm up later in the week. Across the country, quiet right now, but they are expecting a big storm down south and in a section of the plains. We'll keep you posted on what's happening with that weather development. When we come up next, this is very fun, very uplifting. Where would you go? Let's say you've got a trip for Italy planned. And by the way, I hope you do spend some time on my website because it's a lot of fun, TravelItalyExpert.com. There's videos and restaurants and places to go, things to do. We'll be adding this segment, by the way, on the website and also on Facebook. If you want to take that wonderful photo, let's say you know someone who just got engaged, or maybe you're going to Italy for an anniversary, or you've got some sort of a trip planned, or maybe you're going to be with us on our pilgrimage in March, where would you go with your spouse if you wanted to take the perfect love or amore photo? And especially, how does this relate to St. Valentine? We will explain up next. You are listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Love is in the air. That's amore. We'll be right back.
Old St. Mary's Catholic Church in Greektown announces its next third Sunday concert of the season, Sunday, February 20th at 2:30 p.m., hosting the Baroque Ensemble, L'Invision. The music will consist of further exploitation of the Neapolitan masterworks and broadens the scope to influence that city had on Northern Europe. Featured will be recorded concertos of Schultz, Porpora, and Sari. There will be free and guarded parking and no admission charge. Go to oldstmarysdetroit.com.
Where is prayer revealed in the Bible? The Catholic Catechism says it comes between the fall and the restoration of man, between God's sorrowful call to our first parents, "Where are you? What have you done?" and the coming of his only Son into the world. "Lo, I have come to do your will," says the Lord. Prayer is intertwined with human history. Beginning with Abraham, the Catechism asserts, prayer is first revealed in the Old Testament. God calls Abraham in old age to leave Haran and travel to the land of Canaan, and Abraham, in faith, leaves the land of his ancestors. Then Abraham extends generous hospitality during a remarkable encounter with God, which foreshadows the annunciation of Christ, the Son of the promise. Finally, Abraham offers his only son Isaac in sacrifice, and God, who will not spare his only son, spares Abraham's. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
For your no-obligation quote, please call Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200.
Thank you. Si avesse fatta nato quello che fatta a me, stomma t'avesse acciso e vo' sapere perché. Perché in coppa sta terra femmine come a te non ci hanno sta per nome, non è sto come a me. Femmina, tu sei una mala femmina, a scuocchie fatta chiagnere, lacrime infamità.
Happy St. Valentine's Day on this February 14, 2022. Amore, that means love in Italian. And if you want to say I love you in Italian to someone, you could say ti amo, ti amo. That's just a little insider language for you there. All right, so everyone knows how much I love Italy, and I know you love it too. Very few people that I meet don't love Italy. I haven't met anyone who's been there that doesn't automatically fall in love, even if they're not Italian-American. It's just that kind of a country. It's so incredibly beautiful, and it's very beautiful for so many reasons, the true, the beautiful, and the good, and so much attached to our Catholic faith. I do want to let you know that we still have room on our Saints and Shrines trip that Steve Ray and Janet Ray and Deacon Dom and I are doing in March, and it's going to be great. It's only a month away. We leave on the 16th, or actually the trip starts on the 18th. We're going in a couple days early. But this is a fantastic trip. We start up in Milano, and then we go all the way down to San Giovanni Rotondo for St. Padre Pio and for Gargano, which is, of course, the site of the cave of St. Michael, which is an approved apparition in the church. We also go to Assisi. We go to, oh my gosh, Lanciano, Loreto. We go to Montepello. We go to Rome. We go to Florence. We're staying two nights in Florence, which is unbelievable. And that is actually the start of our photo op hit parade this morning. We will start, well, yeah, let's start at the Arno, then we'll go a little bit further north and west. So the Arno River runs through Florence, and it's beautiful. And one of the most famous spots to take pictures and to shop is, of course, the Ponte Vecchio. Ponte means bridge, Vecchio means old, so basically it's the old bridge. There's a lot of history there with the Ponte Vecchio, which I don't have time to get into. But suffice it to say, there has been this tradition along the Arno of taking a padlock and locking it on a gate, a particular gate, to symbolize your love. So here's a little summary. Padlocks symbolizing eternal love can be found in iconic places all over Italy, and of course, many on the Ponte Vecchio in Florence in Tuscany, especially on the railing of the statue of the goldsmith and sculptor Benvenuto Cellini. The couples, what they do is they leave their locks on the Ponte Vecchio, then they throw the key to the padlock on the Cellini railing in the Arno River, and this symbolizes their undying love. And the problem is now that the city administrators have about had it with all the young couples and married couples doing this, and it's becoming somewhat of an eyesore, so they don't let you do it anymore, or if they catch you, by the way, then you have to remove it, and you could also pay a fine. But it's still really cool to see because they have left the padlocks there. And so you can go there and you can take a picture next to them. We've done this. And the Arno River and the Ponte Vecchio, especially as the sun is setting and you see the different colors of the buildings, it is just so romantic to stay there and take a picture and just look at the beauty of Florence. Then we go a little further north. About 2.5-3 hours north of Florence will be the Lake District, and we go to Lake Cuomo. Now, there's a beautiful town along Lake Cuomo that a lot of people unfortunately bypass because it's not one of the biggies, such as Cuomo or Bellagio, which are two of the most famous towns along that gorgeous lake. A little town called Verena, V-R-E-N-N-A, Verena. It's just so quaint, and they actually have something called the Walk of Lovers. So it is a promenade that runs along the lake, and it has all these different places, for example, that are under a little vine canopy. So you have grapevines and other different plants that are growing over And they have a very nice canopy set up, and so it's very, very romantic. And in the springtime, there's flowers, and the views are fantastic, and that is a beautiful photo op right there in Verena on Lake Cuomo. It is a pedestrian walkway over the lake that leads from the ferry dock of Verena to the ancient village of the country. And from this romantic walkway, you can admire the lake, the mountains, and the small, colorful houses perched at the foot of the rock wall. Then if we have south and west over to the Ligurian coast for Cinque Terre, they have the Via del Amore, the Path of Love. And this is part of the hiking trail above the Mediterranean, technically the Ligurian coast there. Just breathtakingly beautiful. It is the most famous, the Lover's Lane, the most famous and romantic stretch, again, of the Cinque Terre coastline, connecting the picturesque villages of Rio Maggiore and Manarola, and it's only actually less than a mile long. And it's actually the easiest section to walk of the hike. The hike itself is about 7 miles long, but it's not bad at all. Deacon Dom and I did it many years ago. It's just right above the mountains, and it's just so crazy beautiful. The actual hike takes you all the way from Rio Maggiore up to Monte Rosa. The trail has a stunning atmosphere, excavated through hard rock and winding along the rock face overhanging the sea. And the history of the Path of Love, or the Via del Amore, dates all the way to the beginning of the 20th century during the modernization of Genoa and the La Spezia Railway. A footpath was needed by the railroad workers to move between Rio Maggiore and Manarola during the construction of the tunnel between the two villages, and legend holds that the footpath became a meeting place for lovers from the two towns. Okay, so we have Verena's Walk of Lovers, Cinque Terre's Via del Amore, and then we move down to Roma. The Ginocchio Hill, one of the most romantic places in the Eternal City. Unmatched panoramic view of the city. We take a lot of our groups there for photo ops. It will leave you awestruck. I mean, it is absolutely, again, stunning. And really, it's pretty romantic when you sit there with your loved one and enjoy the heavenly view above Rome. It's just beautiful. Ponte, another bridge, Ponte Sant'Angelo in Rome. Or the Bridge of Angels, which is right next to Castle Sant'Angelo and very close to St. Peter's. Spectacular bridge made over the boats that pass by, right? I mean, it's just really pretty the way it crosses over on the other side, and you're not too far over there from Piazza Navona. The figurine of Peter and Paul at the entrance, a bridge over the River Tiber, offers striking vistas, again, of Castle Sant'Angelo, one of the secret romantic places in Rome, known as a popular destination for couples to meet. And what's so beautiful about it as well is this would be a good place, especially for Catholic couples, as I said on the Sunrise Morning Show this morning, to meet and take a photo, because the Bridge of Angels has all these different angels that are carrying symbols from the crucifixion of Christ, right? It's just absolutely beautiful and a great place to meet. And then moving over to the famous Trevi Fountain. And by the way, thanks to COVID, there's a good thing there. It's not nearly as crowded, and you can easily get down and throw your coin in the fountain. And then, of course, we have the Spanish Steps, made famous by, well, many people in many different walks of life, but especially in the movies in Hollywood, the Spanish Steps, a famous scene from my favorite film, Roman Holiday, with Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck, standing there chatting, and she's eating a gelato. It's just a classic scene from that film with the Spanish Steps in the background. And then another beautiful bridge is the Ponte Sisto. It really is absolutely gorgeous, and it's connected to an area, my favorite area in all of Rome, which is known as Trastevere, which is also very romantic, especially as the sun starts to set over the cobblestone streets. But Ponte Sisto is the bridge is almost kind of surreal because of its construction. It's just so beautifully constructed. And then the area, the particular buildings, you've got a combination of old and new. And again, as I mentioned, when the sun sets, just the whole scene there on the Ponte and the Bridge Sisto is just really a place to be and a great photo opportunity. And also the water there of the Tiber at that location of the river is very strong as it goes. It gets to move more quickly in that part of Rome, and it's getting closer to going out to sea, so it's a really cool place to hang out. And then last but not least, of course, I want to leave you with this, and the reason we are marking this day, St. Valentine's Day, is the tomb of St. Valentine in Terni in Umbria. And what do oranges have to do with St. Valentine's Day in Italy? Well, in Italy, flowers from the orange tree, Fiore di Arancino, are associated with happy marriages. Orange juice, when given to a romantic interest, becomes, apparently in Italy, it's considered in tradition, a powerful love potion. And actually, what couples do on the day before Valentine's Day in Italy, if they can get there, they go to the church in Terni, in Italy, where church tradition has that St. Valentine is buried. And he is considered in both the Catholic Church as well as the Anglican Church and the Orthodox Church as well, the patron saint of lovers. And so what they like to do, the couples, is to go to Terni. The Feast of St. Valentine on February 14th is today known and celebrated around the world. Tradition was spread by the Benedictines, the first guardians of the basilica dedicated to the saint in Terni, through their monasteries, first in Italy and then in France and England. And so again, oranges, flowers from the orange tree, and the couples going to Mass at the Basilica of St. Valentino. Born in 176 in Terni, Italy, which is in Umbria, not too far from Assisi, where they go to have their engagement or their marriage blessed, asking for the intercession of this very special saint of love. So there you go, the top places in Bella Italia to take photos, a romantic photo op, and just to associate it with marriage, with love, and of course with beauty, because Italy is so, so beautiful. We started up north in Verona at Lake Como. We also visited the Arno. We went over to Cinque Terre. We went down to Rome to see the Ponte Sant'Angelo, the Trevi Fountain, the Spanish Steps, Ponte Sisto, and then ending up in the beautiful area of Umbria, which is a region east-northeast of Rome. Amore, happy St. Valentine's Day. Let's treat each other with love and respect today. And if you need a little warmth, think about these beautiful places in Bella Italia. And oh, by the way, speaking of love and love and marriage, being that yesterday was World Marriage Day, Dinka Dam and I and my wonderful team at Teresa Tomeo Communications, we have a brand new marriage page. If you need a marriage retreat or a marriage talk, check it out. That would be teresatomeo.com/marriage. We'll be right back. Let's close with more Bocelli on this St. Valentine's Day. Stay tuned. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. In the news with T and V. Happy St. Valentine's Day, V. How are you? V, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Happy St. Valentine's
Day.
Hey,
it's Valentine's Day and World Marriage Day.
And, yes, yes, yes.
Always a wonderful time. Went out to dinner with a couple on Saturday with hubby, you know.
So
oh, nice.
Fun. Nice. Yeah. Dominique and I are, now I know it's a shock, we're going out to an Italian restaurant tonight for Valentine's
Day. Woohoo!
One of our favorites, Cafe Nini.
Well,
I
was living vicarious through you, talking about in T's two cents about traveling in Italy, man. I want to go on that trip.
All the romantic places, so beautiful. The Arno and the Ponte Vecchio, Verona, and of course Cinque Terre, Lover's Lane, all kinds of great stuff. All right, well, we're not so cozy and warm with what's going on in the media, so I think we should start with that clip, and Andrew, I think, has pulled it for us. It's of Jen Circleback-Saki, the White House press secretary. I really don't know in what land these people or what universe they're living in terms of the way they say something, which is the exact opposite of the reality.
Yeah.
You know, now one can disagree with what's been going on at the border with the truckers, whether it's here or in other parts of Canada and the U.S., but at the end of the day, people who have been there on the ground have been honest in saying, look, there hasn't been violence. They are peaceful people. They just want their freedom back. And lead us into this clip, because I don't know if you could say it's any more stunning or shocking than some of the other things she has stated, but this is
pretty off the charts. It's a blatant lie, and upset me, and I'm going to play this clip, but here's a press secretary being asked specifically about the borders, and actually specifically about Michigan too. You know, she's being asked about what's going on with the truckers and the borders. And her answer was such a lie, and then there was no follow-up question. And I'll tell you what the question I would have asked if I was in that room as a reporter after she made that statement. So this is all about the truckers and the protesting going on in Canada and, you know, how it relates to the borders in Michigan, too. But listen to this clip.
Thanks, Jen. So truckers in Canada last night shut down the Ambassador Bridge, which carries about a quarter of U.S.-Canada traded goods. So what's the administration's response to this action, and what steps are being taken to ensure the free flow of goods, and also any preventative steps being taken to address a possible blockade on the Michigan side of that bridge?
Well, let me first start by saying I know there's been some suggestion, not by reporters necessarily at all, but that this congestion is related to the vaccine requirements. It's not. I'm saying I'm going to get to the protests, but the protests going on across Canada, which have spread to a bridge, are leading to sporadic congestion and blockages. I would, just to go back to my point I was trying to make, is that across what we've seen with these requirements is across a range of industries, vaccination requirements have been implemented with no disruptions, have helped increase vaccinations. These requirements help protect more people from COVID, and there's been zero indication across these industries that they would lead to disruptions, including on this policy. We, of course, support, as you know, the right to freedom of speech and protest. While we do see some of these congestion due to protests, it is clear that these disruptions have broadened scope beyond the vaccine requirement implementation. We are, of course, in touch with our Canadian counterparts, but I don't have any updates in terms of specifics.
What? Yeah, okay, first of all, let's just break down that entire statement, okay? Because, first of all, she doesn't even answer the question at all.
Wait a minute, I got to go get some blood pressure medication.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be right back.
You're kidding. She does. First of all, let's just be clear. She never answered his question at all.
No.
Never.
She never said what the administration was going to do. She just used it as an opportunity for more propaganda.
Propaganda about the vaccines and how it's helped and how it's wonderful, right? She never answers a question. She just turns it around about promoting the vaccines. She blatantly lies and says it has nothing to do with the mandates. It has
everything to do with the mandates. That's all the truckers have
been
saying.
Yeah, this is all about the mandates. They want to go back to a normal life. And a lot of them are vaccinated. They just don't want to be
They're not anti-vaccine at all. There may be some people who disagree with it, but the majority of the truckers who were there are saying, look, I'm not anti-vax. I am anti-mandate. I want my life back. I want my freedom back.
I want to be able to cross the border and go into the United States and see my family who's living there. You know, people who haven't seen their family, loved ones in 2 years, you know. And so she blatantly just lied. And then, if we were reporters in there, what would have been the follow-up question? The follow-up question, so if it's not about the mandates, what is it about?
Well, they're just hanging out at the border sitting in a truck for weeks because they just feel
about?
Like
it.
Right.
Yeah. Why are they there then?
Right.
In your opinion, and the White House's opinion, why are there truckers there? Why are they protesting? That question was never asked. Then they never challenged her like they would have Trump's press secretary and saying, well, you didn't answer our question, because we saw that numerous times where they would circle back even when she answered the question and go back and try to ask it in a different way. Nobody challenged her. No, and then you know how she slipped in there? You know, it's been, you know, alluded by some people. Of course, not by reporters. No, because they're all in your pocket.
Right.
Why would they even challenge you or say this, you know? So, this is so blatant. I mean, that statement really, really is the epitome of how she operates on a daily basis and how that administration operates. Don't tell anybody the truth. Don't answer any questions. And circle back around to our agenda.
Your talking points.
It's all about the vaccines are wonderful. The vaccines are great. The vaccines are saving people. I mean, that has been their message from day one, and no one's allowed
to challenge that. But what does that have to do with why the truckers and the protesters, not just the truckers, but the people supporting them, have been at the borders and in Ottawa, the Canadian capital, for weeks now? It is because they are against the mandates.
Yeah.
They're not against vaccines. Maybe some are, as I said. But over and over again, we are hearing stories of how they want their freedom. They want their lives coming back to normal. That's what we've heard repeatedly.
And the reporters are not challenging her on this, not questioning, not doing follow-up questions. I mean, this is just blatant, just going along. Let her say whatever she wants to say and make that truth. It's just... It's really
well. What's sad to me is what was happening right before this weekend, leading up to this weekend, when they did open up the Ambassador Bridge. And look, we all know there are supply chain problems. There were supply chain problems prior to the truckers gathering.
Oh, yeah.
Because
way
of COVID.
Prior.
And, yeah, way yeah. higher, way higher problems. And you know this because some of your clients
yeah.
are in
the
food industry. And obviously, a shutdown is going to make it worse. But they say that they're desperate. They're trying to get the attention. They just want to sit down and talk with leaders. Now, one of the leaders in Ontario, apparently, I think I saw a story about this. I did over the weekend, where he's agreed to meet with them, and there's certain requirements, I guess, so they're trying to work out these meetings. This is what they had to do to get them to talk. I mean, just sit down and talk to them. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Nobody will talk to us. All they're doing is attacking us with these personal attacks. And there is a reporter from the Toronto Sun. Al interviewed him when this all started a couple of weeks ago. I think his name is Joe Warmington. He's been doing, I think, a fairly decent job getting both sides of the story out there. And last week I ran a clip of him, I think it was Friday on Fact Check Friday, of him saying that, you know how the media were claiming, the leftist media were claiming that there were all these swastikas and Nazi flags and Confederate flags. He said he only saw one, and it was nowhere near where the truckers and their supporters were at the Capitol. It was in another neighborhood away, so they took a shot of that and they put it out there, making it look like that they were, you know, racist and neo-Nazis and everything
else. Of course,
that's
their narrative. That's their narrative. Anytime anybody protests what the agenda is of the left, they have to paint a bad picture. And instead of digging into the deep truth of what's really going on, I saw a media story the other day saying what's happening in Canada is just as is related to it's like January 6th all over.
Those are the phrase. That's what I use. I use the clip of the reporters. Use that, and I use the clip of the reporters calling it another insurrection, attack on democracy.
Of course, they go back to January 6th, the one day, but they never go back to the weeks of rioting all across the country, ever. Ever go back to the weeks of rioting, destroying Chicago and Seattle and you know, all these other cities around the country. They never talk about that.
Right. And no one has died in this situation. And look at what happened, for example, in Seattle with the whole CHOP thing, in the Summer of Love, not to mention in Minneapolis and other areas and other things that happened across the country in the riots last summer and the summer before when all of this really began in 2020. So let's just put the whole story out there. Okay, so there are some issues maybe that have happened in Ottawa and elsewhere across the border, and it may not be a pretty picture everywhere, because we've got issues now with the supply chain. Okay, fine. I don't have a problem people reporting accurately on the fallout from that. But let's report accurately about what these people are saying and why they're there. Let's talk to them. And let's not ignore what has happened all over the country, which, remember, Kamala Harris during the 2020 election called a movement. She said this is a movement,
and
it shouldn't
be
stopped. They were burning down cities.
Yeah. It's a movement.
But that's
people
a movement.
Truckers can't peacefully protest against a mandate in the country. You know, this is the thing, is people are fighting for their freedom.
Did you hear that one man? I was just telling you over the weekend, I saw a clip of a man who said, if I have to die out here,
I will.
Because I do not want my children growing up in this country that has lost its freedoms. This is a Canadian man saying this.
Yeah, and they're actually less free than we are in the United States. But if we want to see where we're headed, look to Canada. I mean, because these are signs of what's happening. Look to Canada and other countries that are, you know, have more of a socialist government. And that's where we're heading. And the problem is, T, there's like generations of people in this country that don't even understand socialism at all what it is.
Yeah.
They
mm-hmm.
just don't get it. And they don't understand it. They don't understand history. And they're going to wake up one day. Sometimes I think we're going to wake up one day and live in a totalitarian and don't realize how we got here.
Speaking of that, we had lunch with dear friends of ours, Deacon Francis King and his wife Lucy. They were ordained with Deacon Dom. Deacon Francis was, and they're originally from China, and they are all too familiar with all of this. And they were talking about the same thing you just said. People do not realize what this is leading to in terms of what's happening. And they're not anti-vax or anything. They're just saying that this is, people have no idea. They don't know how to look back at history of where this is leading us, all of these efforts. And the silence and the misinformation and, you know, the media just, you know, in the tank for the government. I mean, this is so problematic.
It's very problematic, and you got to always look to the money, as we always talk about, T.
Yep.
The money controls, and right now the big tech is really controlling the government in many parts of the world, controlling the narrative, and they control the media, and it all trickles down to the government, and that's what's really happening. I mean, it's not conspiracy theory. Just look at the money. Look how things are being censored. Look how things are taken off social media. Look how there's only one story being told. I mean, how many people we know, including Father Krupp, who's was taken off Twitter for saying something peaceful about God. You know what I mean? About I mean,
twice he was taken off Twitter that time, and then most recently.
I mean, there's so many things that we can point to, and so you know, our freedoms are being threatened every single day. And you know, people's voices are being censored, and we just have to realize what's happening, and we have a right to stand up and speak up. You know,
well, did you see the guy that was interviewed that said, I think he was from Iran, and he said he left Iran because of the tyranny, and now he was seeing some of the same things in Canada.
Go talk to people. Go talk to my people.
Yeah, go talk to your people. Go talk to people from Iraq.
Who were persecuted, who were killed and murdered, and if you weren't in line with the political agenda.
Right.
I mean, you had to have pictures of Saddam Hussein in your home. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you talk about control. They escaped that land for freedom.
Right.
You know, this is the thing. The American people need to go talk to recent immigrants and find out why they're here and how they came here and what life was like in their own country.
Yeah, another deacon couple, friends of ours, are from Poland, and they came here when they were young. Yes, and they talked about the fact that people don't realize the same thing that our other friends said from China. So look, you've got Iraq, you've got Poland, you've got China. Why did all these people come here, and what can they tell you about what led to that and how it was inch by inch, little by little, that all of a sudden the freedoms
were gone? And very subtle, and you slowly pick away. You start silencing people. You put them in fear. You tell them that government needs to control them. You start giving them money. I mean, look what's happening in our country. Why can't we get people back to work?
Right.
How are they giving? You know, how much money is the government giving them to keep staying home?
Yeah.
You know, and they're, you know, and
it makes them more dependent on the government. Yeah. And then what does that lead to? Socialism.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, socialism.
And people need to recognize this, and they need to see the messages that the media are given, and the way it seems to me, and I don't know, I don't think it's this actually happens, but there must be something going on in terms of the way the media on the left get their talking points, because you can't have people saying the same phrase
in every
on the
outlet.
Same networks at every outlet.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point, T. That's been going on for at least the last 2 years.
Well, even before that,
yeah,
I think, even during the election.
So.
More so now.
I was going to say, speaking of a great voice that we lost.
I was just going to say that.
Frank Beckman, who actually spoke truth and challenged people. His interview style was amazing. Frank Beckman from WJR, and I had the honor of working with him and learning from some of the greatest broadcasters in the country, I believe. You know, Frank Beckman being one of them. And I was just thinking about them, all the ones that I learned from. I was a young reporter working with Frank Beckman and Tom Campbell, who died, and Rod Hansen, who died. All these wonderful,
I worked with them
talented
too. Yeah.
Reporters who were great investigators, who spoke truth, who sought the truth. And that's what Frank did every day. He challenged people. You know, and he asked the right questions, and he engaged people. And we lost one of the greatest voices
in the
media.
I was absolutely stunned. I didn't know. And he just retired last year.
It's so sad. He didn't even get to enjoy retirement. But, you know, one of the best broadcasters.
Yep.
And you and I, you know, both knew him. I had the pleasure of working with him. I mean, this guy had started at WJR in the 70s when I was like...
Well, I met him in the late 70s because that's when I was an intern in 79, and he was there. And he was so nice to me then. And, of course, I also worked with Rod Hansen was there. Of course, Gene Fogel.
Tom Campbell.
They're all, I mean, they've been there for...
Dan Streeter.
I remember Dan Streeter. Yeah, those guys were amazing. And they were real news people.
Yeah.
And real interviews who sought both sides of the stories. And they didn't care about their own personal
opinion. That's who I learned from.
Yeah.
I learned from those guys. I mean, I remember Dan Streeter taking me under his wing as a young reporter, showing me when I go out and do interviews... The style. How do I ask questions properly? You know, how do you get to the core of the story?
And also, how do you ask them not in a non-biased way?
Yeah.
Because I even tell Dominic I can read these stories, or Andrew will hear me complaining, or Dominic will hear me complaining about the tone in the voice.
Say
if they're doing a rap or a voicer, or the particular words that they choose. Like last week, they were calling the Freedom Convoy the so-called Freedom Convoy. What does that mean? That's a negative connotation.
Oh, yeah.
So called, because they're not really Freedom Convoy.
Yeah.
They're just extremists.
Yeah,
you know, these subtle things, these messages that come at us. And then we have one of the greatest voices. Remember the Voice of the Great Lakes, as they call themselves, WJR. And what a great man, and well done, good and faithful servant. Good guy, seeking balance, and really challenging us to really look into issues and look at both sides of the story. May he rest in peace. I'm going to miss him. It was a great
voice. I'm going to miss him, too. I'm going to miss his voice. I mean, I was sad to see him go, but, you know, he was replaced by two great, talented people, too, on the show.
Yes.
And, but, you know, God bless. Let's all pray for him, his repose of Frank Beckman's soul.
Yes, and a good example of how stories and interviews should be done, and V and I both had the chance to work with him, V, much more closely for a longer time, but... He was always supportive of my work, V. He brought me on the show a couple times. Known him for years.
Yeah.
Great discussion, V. Hang on. I want to talk to you during the break. Don't forget Vanessa Denha-Garmo, her wonderful show, Epiphany. She's also a co-host with me on the Catholic View for Women on EWTN. We'll be right back.
Is it time to refresh your office or workspace? Office Express believes in supporting the people who bring your business to life and in helping you efficiently reach your goals. They do this by providing creative workplace solutions and tools. They're everything office, including office supplies, furniture, and printed products. Stop by their state-of-the-art furniture showroom or call 877-795-2600 to begin your journey to a more efficient business. This message is sponsored by Office Express OEX, a proud supporter of local Catholic charities.
We live right now in dark and confusing times, but Jesus is always at work. We shouldn't allow ourselves to forget what we know just because we're facing many circumstances that are threatening and confusing to us. You know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know that He's poured out His Holy Spirit and formed His body on the earth, and that He is the head of the body in heaven, and His body is right here on earth. You can point to it. Jesus didn't just leave us a set of teachings. Jesus, in fact, gave us Himself. The church is ultimately the deifying union between Christ the head and the sanctified members of His body. And so just as the Lord unfurls Himself into the Eucharist, Jesus is also extending His divinely human presence into His mystical body, the church.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John wants to unleash the gospel. The church throughout the world is growing increasingly concerned about the number of fallen away Catholics. We have heard this is because of the secular culture, but is it really, or is secularism just a contributing cause? Join us this week for an important reflection from Father John about the bishops and their work in unleashing the gospel. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Coming up for the next hour of Catholic Connection, we have Julie and Greg Alexander from the Alexander House for our Mornings on Marriage, for perfect for St. Valentine's Day. And then we're also going to see how the young people are responding to the message of faith. Some great news from Curtis Martin of Focus. And then our Bible verse of the week. All of this on a Monday, plus you, St. Valentine's Day today. We'll be right back.